Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to the Super Bowl edition of Fantasy Football Bozos. I am D. Munson, the clown prince of fantasy football, and we are presented by the Southern Bluegrass Fantasy Football Championship. Check them out at sbffc.com and get your ass to Bowling Green, Kentucky, the third weekend in August next year for their draft event. Again, sbffc.com. And Bozo Posse, if I seem a little out of sorts tonight, it's not the usual intake of Buffalo Trace. I'm actually still in recovery. I attended the AFC Championship game at Arrowhead, and it might be part cardiac arrest from the Chiefs, part liver failure for post-Chiefs, or part frostbite recovery. A combination of the three. It was a vicious cocktail that sent the chefs home and the Pats to the Super Bowl. Enough of my pitching. We've got a hell of a show planned for you tonight. We love the Super Bowl edition. Plenty of shenanigans. We're also going to mix in some fantasy insight for next season. And, of course, take a look at the big game on Sunday. When Lamar Hunt was watching his son bounce around a Super Bowl, years ago, he had no idea when he coined the term Super Bowl that he was going to create a monster. It's time to meet our monsters. I'm going to start with a man who bleeds orange and aqua and loves his vodka. He was trying desperately on his shoe phone to dial in a pass and three lateral play for the Chiefs from midfield with about 30 seconds to play. A lot of fins. Welcome aboard, Dolphin Mo.
Thank you, Clown Prince. Good evening, Double K. A shout-out to SBFFC Nation, and as always, to our loyal Bozo Posse listening audience. Clown Prince, I know you are still licking your wounds, and understandably so, after a heartbreaking overtime loss at Arrowhead. But it could be worse. You could be mired in 25 years of mediocrity as a Dolphins fan, and now we have to suffer through 2 weeks again of TV12 and the Patriots putting on this ridiculous facade that nobody believes in them, and that they're underdogs. Hey, jackasses, you've been favored to win the game since the opening line came out. This is your 9th Super Bowl. Spare me this nonsense. I'm old enough to remember when the Patriots were actually the Bills, Jets, and Dolphins of the AFC East. I hope to God this is finally the weekend when this national nightmare ends. Either way, let's kick off the Super Bowl edition and get this thing rolling. Back to you, D.
Oh, Dolphin Mo, you are blindly loyal. We've always given you credit for that, and I'm sure you'll be blind by about halftime of that Super Bowl, having to watch the Patsies once again. Our next ass clown is always medicated and never duplicated. He is Double K Kyle Kephart in fantasy circles. He is known as the Queen City Guru. And, Guru, I know you're very proud. You still have some money left from all of your fantasy football regular season winnings. You've also gotten off to a great start, dominating the postseason, and shockingly, Bozo Posse, this man even got into a Pro Bowl fantasy contest and won that, for God's sakes. Here he is, greetings, Guru.
Hello there, Clown Prince, Mo Man, SBFFC Nation, and Bozo Posse fans. We appreciate all of you, and I'm looking forward to having a great show tonight. I'm sure it's going to be a dandy. And I am sorry to see that the Chiefs didn't make it. I was hoping that Clark Hunt was going to be able to give the trophy to Clark Hunt. That would have been interesting to see from Hunt to Hunt, it could have been fun theater, I think. But I am still shocked that we're here with somehow the Patriots have gotten into another Super Bowl. Would have never thought it after the miracle of them losing in Miami. Sorry, Mo Man. But you're talking about a team that won 11-5, and if they weren't in the AFC East, they would have potentially been scored upon more because of outside of AFC East, they scored 1 point more against the rest of the competition. This is far from an elite New England team, and I will give some props to TB12 and to the hoodie that somehow they miraculously have gotten back to the Super Bowl. And the ratings, unfortunately, will suffer because people are tired of seeing the same act over and over and over. But not that I'm going to stop from having a good time this evening. Back to you, Clown Prince.
Well, thank you, Guru. And I know once again you have proposed that the Pro Bowl bring in the very best cheerleader from each NFL squad, handle a lap dance off in a wet T-shirt contest. So we'll see if Officer Goodell gets that done. But we're glad you're on board to get a lot done for our listeners. You have had quite a year once again with all of your fantasy shenanigans. Time to get on to our shenanigans. The opening segment is going to be sponsored by Buffalo Trace Bourbon. Get you some Buffalo Trace. It makes everything better. We're going to lead off with Dolphin Mo. After breaking out down the stretch and in the postseason, has former Dolphin Damian Williams propelled himself into the first round of next year's fantasy drafts?
Well, thanks for the kick in the nuts, Clown Prince. I don't know if I'd go as far as to say he will go
welcome.
in the first round, but his success does not surprise me at all. He spent 4 years with the Dolphins. He joins a long list of guys like Wes Welker and Chris Hogan, former Dolphins who were cast off for nothing in Miami, who've gone on to find success elsewhere. He's a dynamic player who can make plays both in the running and passing game, and he's going to play, I think, a key role next year in that Chiefs offense. He may be a late first-round pick in some leagues, but I would certainly lean more towards a second round and maybe in some leagues early third round. Double K.
I can't see him getting into the first round. I know he was impressive, especially in the playoffs. It's a very short sample size. I know Kansas City gave me a 2-year contract, so he'll definitely have a shot to be a major part of their offense, but I still would not be shocked if they draft a running back earlier, potentially dove into the free agent market to sign another running back. I look at him as a late round two at earliest. Early round three as a number two running back would be where I would put him. The running back position is very deep, and I would not put him in my anywhere near my top 10. Over to you, Clown Prince.
Well, man, you're welcome for the kick in the nuts, and I'll also give you credit. You were calling Damian Williams' name several years ago to get a chance in Miami, and nobody listened to you. I like Damian Williams. The season started tomorrow. I think he's on the 1-2 wheel because of the pinball offense he plays in KC. I'm with the Guru. It's a wait and see. He got a 2-year, $8 million extension, so they believe in him some. It's just going to depend on what they bring in at the running back position. If they stand pat, Damian Williams for me is going on the 1-2 wheel. Brady and Breeze are both 40 plus years old. They both are in the final four. Obviously Brady's in the Super Bowl. You still draft them as QB1s in next year's fantasy draft?
No, absolutely for me. I mean, neither one of them have shown that there's a significant drop off. Brady certainly had times this year where he did not look like a top tier quarterback, but he's still worthy of a QB1 given the rest of the landscape at that position in the league. Until I see some consistent drop-off from both these guys, they are viable QB1 players for fantasy owners. Double K.
Well, I definitely look at them as quarterback ones, especially in a 12-team or bigger draft. I look at the quarterback position as Mahomes, a clear number one going in the first round, and then there's a huge drop-off after him on whoever the second quarterback drafted will be next season, whether it's Wilson, Breeze, Rodgers, Watson, et cetera, Goff, et cetera. So Mahomes in the first round, then quarterbacks won't be drafted for a while. Over to you, Clown Prince.
The greatest thing about these fossils is that you're going to be able to get them later in drafts than you ever have. I like Breeze a little bit more than Brady. Just because he plays indoors, and I think he has better offensive weapons for fantasy purposes. I like them both, and they're both going to slip in drafts the older they get. At some point, Father Time's going to catch them, but I'm going to nab them if they're in the fifth, sixth round, even later in next year's SBFFC. Bozo Double Shot. It's a cheers, and I'm talking a big cheers to Dolly Parton, who turned 73 years young last week. Who gets your vote for the NFL postseason boob?
Well, I am ashamed to say that I finally drank the Kool-Aid. After years of trashing Phillip Rivers and the Chargers, I finally bought into the hype that maybe this year was different given some of their regular season success on the road. Guess what? It was not. They didn't just lay an egg in Foxborough. They laid an entire omelet with a side of hash browns and some crispy bacon Rivers spent 3 hours whining like the excuse-making sourpuss that he is, and that defense would have been better off staying in the locker room nice and warm and toasty in the first half instead of trying to steal a page from the Steelers' playbook, sitting in soft zone and letting the Patches march up and down the field at will. Congratulations, Phillip, and the Chargers. You are the boobs of the postseason, Double K.
Well, an easy one is obviously the officials in the New Orleans Rams game who are making a terrible non-call. And we may have a different Super Bowl if they would have made the correct call. But I'm looking at Matt Nagy and not what he did in the postseason, but beating the Vikings when he could have set it up where he could have been playing them in week one in the playoffs and playing Kirk Cousins against a bad offensive line in Chicago where they knew they would have been able to dominate. Instead, they let Philadelphia sneak into the playoffs, and then they lose on a semi-tipped Cody Parkey double doink. And then ever since, all they wanted to do was take shots at Cody Parkey. Look yourself in the mirror, Nagy. You should have been in L.A. playing the Rams. It's your fault. Come on, wake up and get over this blaming Cody Parkey for your loss. Over to you, Clown Prince.
Number one for me is the Zebras. Championship Sunday was an absolute joke. The Rams-Saints pass interference call speaks for itself. But how about Chris Jones, the one time the Chiefs actually did get to the quarterback? A love tap on Tom Terrific's shoulder pads, and a flag flies, roughing the passer, and then negates a third and long. Of course, the Chiefs probably wouldn't have stopped him on third and long. Anyway, that's beside the point. And that pass interference call will be one for the ages. And the worst thing about that pass interference call is now the NFL is exploring even more replay. Games are going to take like 5 hours if they replay pass interference. My second call is Cody Parkey. The guru mentioned him. I agree the Bears shouldn't have been in that position. But this ass clown, forget the fact that he missed the field goal. He goes on the Today Show. I referenced it right after it happened. And this clown's been on like a celebrity tour locally and nationally, almost celebrating his tip double doink choke job. Cody Parkey, for me, is my boob. Second part, honoring Dolly Parton. What's your favorite slang term for boobs?
Well, this list could go on for hours, but I'm going to give you my medal stand, Bozo Posse. Bronze medalist is chesticles. The silver medal goes to fun bags. And the Mo Man's gold medalist for boobs is the traffic stoppers. Double K.
Outstanding and fun bags. That was right near my top. But melons is always a good one. And so I love just placing my head in between two that can be have the double smash effect at the gentleman's club, if you know what I'm saying. So I like a little room in between so they can really smash it tight. If it's too tight to begin with, I can't stick my head in there.
Thank you for that. A sloppy set for the guru, please, coming up. I know you've escaped concussion protocol several times to do the podcast after a night taking on those double Ds. For me, can you ever say the word tatas without the adjective bodacious? I've never seen bodacious in front of anything except tatas. So bodacious tatas. And why not the namesake itself in honor of Miss Parton? How about them dollies? Super Bowl, most incredible. We got a three-pack here. Give me your most incredible of these three, Mo Man. This year represents the largest age discrepancy between opposing coaches, 66 for the hoodie, 33 for Boy Wonder. In 53 years of Super Bowl existence, the host city for the Super Bowl has not had that city's NFL team play in the big game. Or lastly, New England has not scored in the first quarter in any of their eight Super Bowls under Belichick.
Well, a couple things here. First, the Niners are the closest team to ever play at home. They played at Stanford when Montana and the Niners throttled Dan Marino's only Super Bowl attempt with the Dolphins. If I had to pick one, though, from this list, I would go with the Pats being scoreless in the previous eight first quarters in Super Bowls. But I'm going to go off the board here. This is the ninth Super Bowl for Brady and Belichick together. I repeat, Bozo Posse, 9 Super Bowls. That means they've been to 47% of the Super Bowls since they have been in the league together. It also means they've been in 17% of all the Super Bowls ever played. So for a little context, no other franchise has been to more Super Bowls in their entire franchise history than these two guys have been in the last 19 years. I am waving the white flag. I give up, Bozo Posse. It is time to move on. Double K.
Well, of these three, I think what Mo just mentioned is unbelievable. The success of New England under Belichick and Brady is unbelievable. But of these three, I mean, we've seen other young coaches get there, and I would not be shocked if we see a trend of that continue with young coaches. So seeing a coach in their 60s or late 60s getting there in the future might become less and less of a possibility. But I'm definitely going with New England. I know that when this streak first started, New England was more on the defensive. Initially was a quality defensive team, and defenses were still, you know, had some say in the game. But the last 3 to 4 years, the game has become a total offensive machine. And for them not to have scored a touchdown in the first quarter, to me, is unreal. And it really goes back to how in the world did they come back and beat Atlanta in that one Super Bowl? They were down 28-3. Unreal. Over to you, Clown Prince.
Well, I'm going to talk a little bit about that Atlanta debacle later, and you'll enjoy and you'll want to stick around and listen in for that. For me, I'm also going with the fact that the Pats have not scored in the first quarter in any of these 8 Super Bowls. I told my buddy I was at Arrowhead with when they took the kickoff and marched down the field in a yeoman-like drive and scored on the Chiefs in the first quarter. I said, it's amazing they've never done that in one of their Super Bowls, and I stand by that. Maybe it'll change in the big game this year.
Ready.
We'll see. But unbelievable. 8 Super Bowls, no points in the first quarter. Bozo shot before we get to our first break. Tag team match in a steel cage. We're going to go with the owners and the coaches. It'll be Boy Wonder, Mr. McVay, and Stan the Scam Kroenke for the Rams. And in the opposite corner, the hoodie, Bill Belichick, and Pat's owner, Robert Kraft. That's a tag team match in a steel cage. Who wins and how does it go down, Mo Man?
Well, many of these that we've had in the past have been epic battles. This, to me, is a no-brainer. Sean McVay is a whirlwind, the boy genius of the NFL. This match would be extremely disappointing for any fans who paid for it on pay-per-view. McVay would start out against the hoodie and would end this match in about 13 seconds in an epic beatdown of Tasmanian devil proportions. He cannot waste time on such ridiculousness as a cage match, so he would slap the smug out of the hoodie in Kraft's face, hop on a private jet back to L.A., so he can watch more film and fill his gigantic brain ball knowledge. It is a knockout quick, thrown over the top of the cage. Easy win for McVay. Double K.
I can see this now. St. Louis fans kidnap McVay, and they make it a handicap, no DQ, and stretcher match. Where Kroenke and in a cage. So Kroenke goes into a cage to take on both Belichick and Kraft, and of course gets the total beatdown of his life and leaves on a stretcher heading in an ambulance to the hospital where the St. Louis fans are cheering, hoping that they never see him again. Over to you, Clown Prince.
I got a little different spin on this, Bozos. As you know, there's been a rift in New England. The hoodie, TB12, and Mr. Kraft all been a little divisive. They've gotten it together toward the end of the season. But I see this as the hoodie turning on Robert Kraft and McVay, Kroenke, and the hoodie all wind up beating Kraft to a pulp. Robert Kraft has the perfect ingredients for being a hell of a bleeder in the squared circle. He's got the white hair. If you remember Dusty Rhodes, Ric Flair, they all had the light hair. I mean, a razor blade to the forehead, and he's bleeding like a stuck hog, and he's probably going to have a pink singlet on. He wears that pink shirt when he's in his skybox. So he's going to have blood all over his white head and his pink singlet, and they carry him out of there. A DQ, he's the winner, but beat to a pulp. There you have it. It'd be fun to see that go down. That'd be great pay-per-view to hook with the Super Bowl. When we come back, we're going to get to all kinds of Super Bowl shenanigans, favorite commercials, who you want to sing the national anthem, party fouls, and everything else. We'll be right back after these words from the SBFFC.
The Southern Bluegrass Fantasy Football Championship, proudly presented by Buffalo Trace Bourbon, is an experience unlike any other. It's a Las Vegas-style event right here in South Central Kentucky. It goes down on August 19th at the Carroll Nicely Conference Center in Bowling Green and is hosted by the WKU Tamperettes. A $200 buy-in can win you up to $5,000, $25,000 in total prizes. This season-long fantasy football tournament consists of 12 divisions of 12-team leagues. Compete against the very best fantasy football players in the world. Sign up today at sbffc.com.
Welcome back, Bozo Posse, and I truly hope that Vince McMahon is listening in tonight. We got a great script dialed up. You got one of three directions to go there, McMahon. Pick one and give us a call. Second segment, sponsored by Stoodles Financial. If you're planning on wagering on the Super Bowl and playing all the prop bets and need a loan or need financial advice, call Stoodles. They're in Bowling Green, Kentucky. They'll take care of you via satellite. Stoodles Financial in Bowling Green, Kentucky. We'll lead off with the guru. What's your all-time favorite Super Bowl commercial?
I have a top three all-time. I'm going with my gold medal winner is the 1992 Pepsi commercial with Cindy Crawford. Anyone who hasn't seen that, go check that one out. Oh, my. 1980, Mean Joe Green and Coke, where Mean Joe tosses the kid the shirt for the Coke bottle. And 1979, when the brokerage firm E.F. Hutton said, when E.F. Hutton talks, people listen. All three of those are ones that I remember years and years later. So for our younger audience out there, check those out on YouTube. You'll enjoy all of them. Over to you, Moomin.
Yeah, well, like Double K, since I gave you the medal stand before in the other Bozo shot, I'll give it to you again here. My bronze medal goes to the original Bud Bowl between Bud and Bud Light in 1989. That was a football game between bottles of beer with football uniforms on and helmets, Bozo Posse. The silver medalist came 5 years later, earlier in 1984 when Wendy's gave us the famous, "Where's the beef, ladies?" And undoubtedly, as a self-proclaimed uniform enthusiast and expert, and as a kid in the 70s and 80s who would have died for an authentic game-worn football jersey, Double K already mentioned it, Coke's ad with Mean Joe Green tossing his jersey to a young fan is the greatest commercial of all time in the Super Bowl. "Hey, kid, catch. Have a Coke and a smile," said Mean Joe Green. Clown Prince.
We appreciate the Freudian slip from Mean Gene. We never get enough
Mean Gene.
Of Mean Gene. Yeah. Those are all classics. I had the Bud Bowl dialed up moment as well. And the thing I enjoyed most about that is how they absolutely tried to replicate the NFL players with beer containers. And they had the small 7-ounce ponies that served as the kickers. The miniature kickers were the pony beer bottles. I also liked the horses out on the range that were playing football. Love that, and I love all the Bud commercials that have the Clydesdales and the Dalmatian. Brings back old St. Louis Cardinals memories. So many good commercials, and now to get to the important part, Guru. Give television a commercial idea you suggest using an NFL player and a product that fits them.
I'm going with a coach, and a coach that I believe definitely likes to eat, Big Red Andy Reid, who doesn't look like he misses many meals, has a huge play chart that's colorized that he holds up. It looks like a huge menu of options. So I think him and Denny's would be a great tie-in. And I'm wondering if that's why Andy Reid decided to go with Steve Spagnuolo as his next D coordinator instead of Rex Ryan. I think if he would have brought in Rex and his brother Rob, they would have all three been eating so much that they may not have made it through a season. but Andy Reid and Denny's, I think, are a match made in heaven. Get that man a ham sandwich. Over to you, Mo Man.
Well, this one's a layup for the Mo Man. It is former NFL star Antonio Cromartie, father of 14 children, including three since he had a vasectomy in 2013. The ad would be for a condom company in Europe called Lucky Bloke Condoms. And they are, quote, unquote, the largest and strongest condoms on the market. What I see, though, is the scene closing with Antonio saying something like, since I don't even pull out of my driveway, let alone anything else, I use Lucky Bloke Condoms. You should, too. Over to you, Conference.
Outstanding. I'm going to go with the aforementioned Philip the Bitch Rivers and Pampers. I think it'd be classic. He's got like nine kids at home. Why not have his wife changing like all kinds of diapers and then having Phil with a passy in his mouth and a set of diapers on himself? Maybe she can change his diaper while he bitches and moans at officials, opposing players, and everything else. That'd be classic. Phil Rivers and Pampers for me. Those are all outstanding. I hope the NFL's listening. Who's your ideal choice to sing the national anthem, Guru?
Oh, I think that I would have to go with Rihanna and Miley Cyrus doing a duet on a stage, but also including cheerleaders from numerous teams and all twerking while they're singing the national anthem. I'm sure that that would cause a rise, and I'm not talking about people just standing up. Other parts of bodies would be standing as well watching that taking place. Over to you, Mo Man.
Double K, I am all in on that suggestion by you. I would love to see that. That might be mine as well. But my ideal national anthem performer would be our pseudo-president Donald Trump, only because I would love to drop 10 grand on a prop bet on how many words he actually knows of the national anthem. The over-under is 14 words. Clown Prince.
Outstanding. I'm going to roll with Sheryl Crow, an old Clown Prince favorite. Personal eye candy of mine at its finest, and a hell of a voice. Give me some Sheryl Crow every single year in the Super Bowl, not just this year. What are a couple prop bets you think are winners, and what's your favorite prop bet you have seen?
Well, there's over 440-something prop bets. I mean, it's unbelievable what they come up with. I love the ones where other sports tie-ins. There's one something with, like, Zion Williamson and scoring versus how many points were scored in the first half or something. But I always love the coin toss. That's a great one. First touchdown. How long will Gladys Knight sing the national anthem? The last three have all come in at 1 minute, 45 seconds. Will she be under or over? So I would probably go with Gladys Knight and singing the national anthem because of the consistency the last 3 years and see if she goes under or over that number. Over to you, Mo Man.
Yeah, I'm kind of on board with a couple of double Ks. I would definitely take tails for the opening coin toss. I would take Gladys Knight going well over the 110.5 seconds for the national anthem. I think she is going to milk this like the midnight train to Georgia. She's going to milk this song and go well over the 110.5 seconds. And I saw a bet of a total of James Harden points on Saturday night or the yardage of the longest touchdown play from scrimmage on Sunday. I will take the yardage from scrimmage. You haven't seen Harden has a ridiculous streak of 30-plus points, but I do think someone's going to get loose for a 50-plus touchdown in this game. And lastly, my favorite prop that I saw this week is 9,999-1 if you take either the Pats or the Rams to score a total of 4 points in the game. That would make for riveting TV. The Rams hold Brady the Pats to 3 points, and they win it with two safeties by Ndamukong Suh.
Oh, that's an outstanding prop. I'd be tempted to take the one, even though I couldn't afford to pay off. I don't see 4 points. Love the James Harden one. I actually kind of like James Harden in that moment. I think it's going to be a little bit more of a defensive game than folks think. We're going to get into that shortly. The one I like best, it's minus 150 that there will be a – roughing the passer game in the game. I am glad to lay -150 after watching Chris Jones's play with TB12 and how they protect these quarterbacks. And you have Sue hunting down as dirty as they come. There's no doubt in my mind there'll be at least one roughing the passer penalty. I'd put that line at 2.5. So I'll lay the 150 to go ahead and collect my cash. That'll probably happen sooner than later. And I'm going to throw you another one. Guru, how many prop bets did you say there were?
I think about 443.
Okay, I'm going to make it 444. I'm going to add one more. The total in the game is around 57. The three fantasy football bozos, that'd be myself, the Guru, and the Mo Man, 57's total points in the game or 57 beers consumed during the game. Take your pick and bet on that.
Well,
what's your dream destination to watch the Super Bowl? And give me your prediction on that prop I just threw out.
I think that's going to be the over as long as the Mo Man is consuming beer and not going straight to the Buffalo Trace. But the dream destination, I'd have to be somewhere where it was warm. And I'm talking, I would love to be in my Speedo, in my on the beach or poolside with some scantily clad ladies of choice with some great grub set up, TVs all over the place, beers and drinks flowing from the ladies. It would be a wild, wild night. But I will see maybe of one eye somehow glancing at a TV while I'm enjoying the rest of my evening with other extracurricular activities taking place. Over to you, Mo Man.
Well, I can make no promises about switching over early to Buffalo Trace. However, for me, aside from sitting in Stephen Ross's suite next year, Super Bowl 54, watching my beloved Finns win the Super Bowl, I would have to say it would be on board Dan Bilzerian's yacht. So Bozo Posse, that is Dan, D-A-N, Bilzerian, B as in boy, I-L-Z-E-R-I-A-N-S. He'd be on a beautiful yacht filled with scantily clad women in the middle of the Caribbean. If you have not familiarized yourself with Dan Bilzerian, make yourself familiar with him on Instagram or Twitter. It will change your life, and you will understand why it would be the ultimate Super Bowl party. Clown Prince.
Well, I love all of these scenarios, and I hope I'm invited to either of your dream parties. The only thing I'd request, Guru, is I do not need to see your ass in a banana hammock anytime soon. My dream destination would be in La Jolla, right outside of San Diego. I got to watch some AFC-NFC playoffs there, wild card weekend one year, and I was had the vision to give the wait staff a $100 bill. And they treated me like a king, and I watched football on some flat-screen TVs sitting right on the water in ideal conditions. If I'm not at the 50-yard line at the real game, I'm not at one of you two bozos' parties, that's where I want to be. Super Bowl party fouls. What's the worst Super Bowl party foul? And before I get into them, this question, we've run it the last couple of years on our Super Bowl edition. This is by request from multiple Bozo Posse members. They love this question more than any, so we're going to rerun it just like a good movie. Worst Super Bowl party foul, Guru. Stanley Wilson of your own Queen City Bengals missing a game due to a cocaine binge. Barrett Robbins missing a game due to a Tijuana trip. Or Eugene Robinson arrested for soliciting a hooker hours after receiving the NFL Man of the Year award.
What's amazing is I still remember all of these so well, even though it's been years ago. With Stanley Wilson, I still can't believe Cincinnati had brought in an extra Cincinnati police to be detailed to keep their players in line. And then somehow, after they had a walk through the evening before the Super Bowl, Stanley somehow wound up getting cocaine in his hands from another player, and then, of course, snorted up his nose, and then they found him, you know, totally out of it, and then he totally, they lost him. after that. So totally crazy on that one. And Barrett Robbins, we still don't know exactly how in the world he wound up in Tijuana. And then, but the best
we
has got to be you. The best has got to be Eugene Robinson, arrested for soliciting a hooker hours after receiving the NFL Man of the Year. I mean, you can't get any better than the guy's the NFL Man of the Year. You know,
sure he is. You're the NFL Man of the Year. You shouldn't be paying for it.
Oh, unreal. So, Stan, Eugene Robinson wins it for me. Eugene Robinson, over to you, Mo Man.
Well, first, you talked about the about Double K's banana hammock. At least I have to say that'd be much better than the Mo Man's much better than the Mo Man's thimble smuggler he would have to wear in the same trip. So in terms of this question, we've had it before. My answer still will be the same, and I agree with Double K here. It has to be Eugene Robinson. I mean, I cannot imagine anything worse than getting acknowledged nationwide for being an upstanding man of the year and then hours later getting busted on a city dump street with a prostitute. But at least he made up for it by getting boat raced for a TD on the first possession 12 hours later. So congratulations, Eugene, on your infamy. Tom Prince.
These are outstanding. That's why I said they should either name an ass clown of the year after Eugene or Pac-Man Jones, one or the other, and award that to something like this. I'm going to give you one for this year, and I'll throw this out at you. I predict that if Josh Gordon was still with the Pats, he might have got lost in the dirty South
tonight
before the Super Bowl, and we might have had a fourth candidate next year on our Super Bowl edition. There you have it. Party fouls. They've been going on for years. What's the worst Super Bowl party foul, the Super Bowl party that you have personally attended?
Well, for me, this is years ago. I'm talking maybe, close to 30. But I once went over a buddy's house with a couple other friends. He said, oh, I'm making homemade chili. I'll have plenty for everyone. Got some other snacks lined up as well. So I, of course, am waiting around for one of my buddies to pick me up. We get there a little late in the middle of the first quarter, and the chili is down to the juice. There is nothing left of the chili but juice. And the only thing left was some sort of green-looking slime that had not been consumed. So I would say the biggest party foul is not knowing how many people are coming and not having enough food, especially in the first quarter. If you're hosting a party, you got to be prepared to have food the entire time. You shouldn't be requiring people to call for a pizza at halftime. Over to you, Mo Man.
Well, this one is easy. It is me. The Mo Man, January 26, 2003, Qualcomm Stadium in San Diego. I was at a huge Super Bowl party at a buddy's house. I was staying overnight, so you can imagine the shenanigans that occurred ahead of time. So almost everyone at the house was in this huge box pool with the winner, the final score, taking home about $2,000. And if you recall Bozo Posse, Derek Brooks, Rich Gannon, with about a minute left in that game to put the Bucks up 41-21. And the Mo Man had 1-1 as the winning fourth quarter numbers. So after obnoxiously running around the house and screaming in everyone's face about the huge victory I just achieved, I went to the kitchen to reward myself, obviously, with some victory shots. And why not? And much to my dismay, I heard some rumbling and some eruption coming from the living room. When I returned, I was informed of Dwight Smith's subsequent 50-yard pick six with 2 seconds left on the clock, giving some jabroni on the couch a $2,000 win directly from my pocket, and it was certainly not one of my certainly most shining moments, as everybody else in the house just destroyed me for the next 2 hours in a drunken stupor. Crown Prince.
Well, we you don't have to explain the drunken stupor. We understand that with you, but I'm sorry for your loss there, Dolphin. Well, I've heard that story before. Mine, it's easy. It happened recently. We mentioned earlier the Falcons blowing a 28-point lead versus Tom Terrific. I had a friend at the Super Bowl party I was attending He was doing fireball and Jaeger shots late in the second quarter as the Falcons were pulling away. He passed out mid-third quarter from his celebration and euphoria. He woke up late in the fourth quarter and was in a stupor, but was still able to witness the greatest comeback of all time in Super Bowl history. So he began drowning his sorrows with more Jaeger and Fireball. He passed out in the bathroom, puked all evening, and had to call in sick the next day. So Tom Brady has not only tormented the Dolphins, other NFL teams, but he tormented my buddy Paul on Super Bowl Sunday and caused him to miss a day of work. What is your Super Bowl party pet peeve?
Oh, I got a couple I got to mention. The people who tell you, be quiet, I got to see the commercials. Come on. Are you really serious that you want us to be quiet? You can find out what the commercials are before they're on, and they'll be talked about and seen days after. So don't tell me to be quiet when the commercials are on. And then the second one, another one is, to be quiet or sit down during the halftime show. I could care less what Maroon 5 or Adam Levine or whoever the groups that are also going to be on stage are doing. It's just part of the show to me. So just don't leave me alone, and I will do what I want to do at halftime at the party that I'm at. Over to you, Mo Man.
Yeah, I have a lot of pet peeves. I'm going to go a little bit in the other direction of Double K, but it's because it's during the game. My main pet peeve is people who talk too much when you're at a Super Bowl house party during the game. If I wanted to hear people screaming and hollering and talking throughout the commentary, I would go to a sports bar. But I'm at someone's house. I want to watch, or maybe my own house, I don't know, and I want to watch the game, and I actually want to hear what's going on. So freaking zip it and let me enjoy the game, please. Thank you, Tom Prince.
Mine is the ass clown that shows up at the party who is a very casual football fan, rarely watches during the regular season, but he acts like Johnny Vegas because he's got a $5 box and he thinks it's a big deal. Cannot stand that ass clown. Please don't invite him to my party. I'm not interested in seeing those shenanigans. You can choreograph the Super Bowl halftime show. What entertainment do you provide?
Oh, I would have numerous poles in the center of the stage and all corners, but I would also have the cheerleaders lined up on the goalpost as well, and it would be constant riding up and down, and I would have the American badass himself up on stage, Kid Rock getting it done, singing different genres throughout, whether he's singing country, rap, rock. He can mix it all in, and everyone will have a good time. Over to you, Mo Man.
Well, for me, my ideal musician would be Garth Brooks, but if for some reason he is not available, I would prefer probably to have no music and bring out former Eagles long snapper and world-renowned magician John Dorenbos. And as he was performing on Double K's Line of Thought, I would have 100 of the finest performers from gentlemen's clubs representing the two cities involved in the Super Bowl out there performing and dancing while Joey Chestnut and Kobayashi compete in a Buffalo Wing competitive eating contest on stage. And however, though, prior to that performance, 100 lucky winners will be drawn from four exclusive lap dances from in the on stage, and they'll be drawn from tickets and people in the crowd. So enjoy those lap dances, those 100 lucky winners. Tom Prince.
Oh, I love it. Outstanding ideas out of both of you bozos. My thought is this. I just saw Lil Wayne in the Halloween costume at the national championship game. As long as his ass doesn't show up for the halftime show, it's going to be improvement. I would rather, God rest her soul and rest in peace, Whitney Houston would perform better dead as a doornail than Lil Wayne did at that national championship game. I'm going to go with Kid Rock, like the guru said. Sheryl Crow's doing my national anthem. Should I bring her back out at halftime? They could do picture together while I had a double ring midget battle royal going on, right, for everybody to see. And that way everybody would enjoy the midget wrestling as much as yours truly. That's going to do it for us.
plenty of shenanigans. We hope you enjoyed them. I promise we're going to get to the big game. We're going to break it down next, position by position, and give our picks right after these words from the SBFFC.
The Southern Bluegrass Fantasy Football Championship, proudly presented by Buffalo Trace Bourbon, is an experience unlike any other. It's a Las Vegas-style event right here in South Central Kentucky. It goes down on August 19th at the Carroll Nicely Conference Center in Bowling Green and is hosted by the WKU Toperettes. A $200 buy-in can win you up to $5,000, $25,000 in total prizes. This season-long fantasy football tournament consists of 12 divisions of 12-team leagues. Compete against the very best fantasy football players in the world. Sign up today at sbffc.com.
Thank you very much to the SBFFC for having us all season. Dr. Brian Harwood is their godfather and creator. I know he loved that midget wrestling reference. He's a big wrestling fan. Mo Man, we're going to break down the Super Bowl position by position. This segment's sponsored by Fantasy Jocks. Check them out at fantasyjocks.com. Predict any studs, sleepers, or rubber-nosed candidates as we hit each position. We'll start, as always, with a signal caller.
Well, we've all seen this act before. I mean, Tom Brady's in his ninth Super Bowl, coming off his best performance and maybe the greatest performance ever by a quarterback in the Super Bowl last year. I would expect nothing less on Sunday, so he's my stud. My sleeper would be Jared Goff, I guess, since he's the only other quarterback who's starting in this game. But I do expect him to have a big game on Sunday as well. I do think Sean McVay puts him in a position to be successful, and he continues his spectacular season. And hopefully, if there is a bust and a rubber nose, going to go to Brian Hoyer after Ndamukong Suh blows out Brady's knees in the second half. Double K.
I'm looking at Mr. Goff being the stud. I mean, you're talking about a guy who came out of New Orleans the first half. He looked totally lost, confused, couldn't hear a thing, shaken, and he turned it around and helped them get the victory. And he was a cool customer in the fourth quarter and in overtime. With that crowd in New Orleans was unreal. This crowd, it's going to be quiet. That Atlanta crowd, I think, is going to be behind the Rams, rooting for them. And I expect Goff to have a very strong game. I think Brady could have a solid game as well, but I think that the Rams will put heat on him. And I think Goff will have all day to throw. Expect Mr. Goff to be your MVP. Over to you, Clown Prince.
I think both these quarterbacks are going to hang some numbers, or at least have a chance to hang some numbers. Both defenses have shut down the run in the playoffs. The Rams were susceptible all season, but they have stopped prolific run offenses in Dallas and New Orleans. I think they're finally motivated to play under that son of a bum, Wade Phillips. I like both quarterbacks to have plenty of opportunity. As always, I'm taking Tom Terrific in a Super Bowl. Running back.
Well, this one's tough because, as Bozo Posse knows, I feel like the Patriot weapons are all kind of like Russian roulette. But I have a feeling that James White will play a huge role again this week, especially in the passing game. The Saints used Alvin Kamara to exploit the Rams linebackers. I think the Pats will probably do the same thing. James White is my stud this week. And my sleeper is James Devlin, fullback for the Pats. I think both teams are going to try to establish the line of scrimmage early in this game and run the ball. I think both defenses will try to stop that. And I could certainly see Devlin being the benefactor here, hammering in multiple touchdowns in the red zone if the Pats get down close. And my bust in the backfield, C.J. Anderson. I think McVay, if you listen to him talk already this week, he feels terrible about how he used Gurley against the Saints. He's going to try to get him off one way or the other this week. And I think Anderson will be the guy between the tackles that the hoodie just shuts down and does not let them dictate the line of scrimmage. So C.J. Anderson is my bust. Double K.
Well, I like some of the suggestions, Mo Man, but I agree with McVay feeling bad about Gurley. That man carried the Rams over a large majority of the season. I think he was nicked up with the Saints game, even though a week earlier he had played well in the second half against Dallas. I think he is healthier now, talking about wanting him to shine. I think Mr. Gurley is going to have a field day and that the Pats will struggle covering him out of the backfield. I actually think because they just played Kamara and he was beating them senseless until they decided to start chipping him, that's what they're going to do to James White. And that's why I think Rex Burkhead is a sleeper. When he's in the out there, you don't know for sure if they would run or potentially throw it to him. I could see him being a nice option And from a rubber nose candidate, slap it on Sony Michel. He's been unreal and huge for fantasy owners playing him in fantasy playoff drafts. Don't expect much out of him on Sunday. Over to you, Clown Prince.
I'm going with the ultimate jock straps. That would be the ball catchers. As I mentioned previously, I think both teams stop the run, and you're going to need to go to your PPR backs. That would be James White and Gurley for me, respectively, for each team. I like those players. Whenever you play prop bets, one game fantasy like the Super Bowl is for some, you really have to take a look at the game script, what you think it's going to be. I think both running games are stopped, so I'm going to go with PPR backs when I choose my running backs. Wide receiver.
Well, for me, this is, again, is advantage Rams to me. I'm not sure who the hoodie's going to try to take away. He historically tries to eliminate one guy from the offense. I would guess it would be Brandon Cooks once they stop that running game. But if that's the case, the Rams have multiple weapons to exploit that Patriot defense. I expect their attack to be similar to the Eagles last year, who they could not stop. And so I would look for Robert Woods to be the stud receiver in this game. The Rams defensively played so much more zone second half of the season and have found a lot of success, actually. But if they play zone on Sunday, again, I hope they don't, because you've seen what that does with Brady. I think they'll try to take away some of the underneath stuff. And so for me, I think Chris Hogan would be a sleeper in this game for the Pats. And I don't really have a bust at all at wide receiver. I think it's going to be kind of a shootout. I do think all these guys who are expected to produce will produce. I think quarterbacks will spread the ball around. Edelman will have a big game. Cooks will have a big game. And both offenses are going to get what they want against these defenses, I think, through the air. So I think the focus is going to be on shutting down the run. Double K.
Well, I think Brandon Cooks is highly motivated to play against his former team, who decided to trade him and not keep him after last season. I would not be surprised if he has a big game, but I think Robert Woods, his no-man match, is going to be the absolute stud. I agree. I think Chris Hogan and also Josh Reynolds are sleepers. I am going to slap the rubber nose on Mr. Edelman. I think you saw the Rams shut down Mike Thomas in their game. I think they will do the same to Mr. Edelman this Sunday. Over to you, Clown Prince.
It's sacrilegious, but I'm going to disagree with the guru. I love Julian Edelman. He's come to life as he always does in these playoffs. I think they'll find a way to get him the football out of the slot. And I would like to say one thing about the wide receiver position. I like them all as well because I think the ball is going to be in the air aplenty. But what a loss Cooper Kupp was for the Rams. This man, for fantasy and for real-life football, is having a tremendous season. And I really think it's understated how much the Rams miss Cooper Kupp this season. I think they're going to miss him in the Super Bowl as a possession receiver and a guy that can hit a home run all at the same time. Tight end.
Well, from your lips to God's ears, Double K. But the Pats are the best tight end of this generation. But for me, he will not be the stud in this game. Both Tyler Higbee and Gerald Everett are going to play a big role for the Rams in this game. I think they will be a combined stud. McVay is going to try to find a way to, again, exploit mismatches in this Patriots defense. He's going to try to get guys matched up one-on-one. I do think the Pats are going to try to be aggressive at the line of scrimmage and bump these guys early. And I think Higbee and Everett are both a mismatch for the Patriots. I don't think Gronk will be a bust by any means, but Wade Phillips will not let him be the guy that beats them on Sunday. Double K.
I actually think that New England needs to have Gronkowski have a huge game, and I expect that he will. A lot of other games, they've been keeping him in to use him as almost another offensive lineman, an extra tackle, helping block, trying to really run the ball. They're not going to be able to run the ball in this game, and they're also going to have Brady get rid of it quick. He's going to have to hope Gronkowski's able to get open quick, and then they're hoping that battering ram can help him move the ball downfield. I expect Gronkowski to have a huge game and help them try and keep it close. But I also would not be shocked if Mr. Everett has a good game as well. He's a young player to keep an eye on for the Super Bowl and next season going forward. He's a very talented player who the Rams have started utilizing as the season's gone on. Over to you, Clown Prince.
I'm going to go Gronky Tonkin one more time. I've had him on multiple teams over the years. He's helped me win fantasy titles.
including last season, not this year, but last season. I think he's going to get utilized in the quick passing game. I just don't trust who's going to get the football with the Rams at the tight end position. Dolphin Moe may be correct, but I think there's a chance that all the tight ends may not be in play. I'd spend big money elsewhere and may go shallow at the tight end position, unless you love Gronk. Final Bozo shot. Excuse me, before we Bozo shot it, Double K, forgive me. I know you love those kickers. Let's get to the kickers and the defenses. Kickers first.
Well, for me, this is a great matchup. I mean, even though Gostkowski has missed some uncharacteristic kicks the last two seasons, he's still a huge weapon for the Pats and can make some clutch kicks. Legatron, aside from the referees, single-handedly delivered the Rams to this game with two unbelievably tough clutch kicks in the NFC Championship game. So, and that last kick, I mean, would have been good from probably 70 yards. I'm going to give the slight edge here to Zuerlein, and that's probably with my heart more than my head, but he is a true weapon for the Rams and somebody that they can take a chance with late in the game. Double K.
I would have been all in on Zuerlein, but I've been concerned. It appears he hurt his foot, supposedly, after they were celebrating their win, that he got attacked after he made the huge 57-yard game winner. So if he's 100%, I agree. I like Greg the Leg Zuerlein, but it's in a dome. I think it's beneficial for both kickers and would not be shocked if, long field goals are tried by both teams during this game. And I would be all in on a 2.5 over of 50-yard field goals. Over to you, Clown Prince.
Guru, I am all over the over.
2.5 field goals. I've been saving that. I almost turned it loose, my prop bet, and I said, you know what, I'm going to save it when we break the game down. I think both defenses are going to show up and play better than people think, and I love both kickers. Greg, the Leg's getting a ton of credit, deservedly so, after his Superdome showing. But I watched Steven Gostkowski, the great Polak, nail a 48-yarder into the wind at Arrowhead. It had to have been like kicking a cement block. I was sitting in that cold, and he nailed it, split the upright with yards to spare. Both these kickers are outstanding. You can't go wrong either way. I would take whichever kicker you think is going to win the game because it may come down to it. Defense.
Well, unlike Crown Prince, I expect both defenses to struggle here. I'm not sure there is a defense that's going to make more plays than the other. If I had to pick one again, probably mostly with my heart, I would say that the Rams pass rush gets into Brady's face, again, whether it's Donald or whether it's Sue, up through the middle, and they make maybe one more play here. I don't think either defense is going to have much of an impact. And, again, if it's going to be one, hopefully it's the Rams that make a play and get a turnover in a key spot. Double K.
I'm more trending towards the Clown Prince on this one. I think both defenses could have some success. I think that this could be similar to the Rams-Saints game, where it's very competitive, comes down to field goals, and hopefully not zebras. But I expect a closer game as long as the speed of the Rams just isn't too much for New England early in the game. I think it could be in the low 20s. Over to you, Clown Prince.
Low 20s.
Flip a coin. Flip a coin and pick a defense. Again, take the winner. The Rams pass rush is scary, but I watched that Pats defense bamboozle St. Patrick Mahomes for a half and shut the Chiefs out for a half. They had a great game plan. I think Jared Goff could be confused early and often, so I would take the Pats D in this one to the Mo Man's chagrin. Right now the Pats are favored by 2.5, and the over-under is 56.5. Predict the game in the over-under.
Well, for me, I think it has a chance to be one of the all-time most entertaining Super Bowls. I'm not sure if it's going to be one of the best games, but I do think, as I said before, both defenses are going to struggle here to dictate or slow down these two offenses. I think Brady is going to have a huge game again like last year. He probably pick the Rams apart underneath if they're going to play that zone. Hopefully they will not and put the Pats in the end zone when they get to the red zone often. But I also think McVay's going to dial up a game plan that exploits weaknesses in the Pats defense and gets the ball in the hands of his playmakers in space with a chance to make some plays. So ultimately, unlike the other two, I guess, I expect a shootout with the Rams scoring a late touchdown to put it out of reach 41-30 Rams. Again, mainly, though, Bozo Posse, what I'm hoping for here is a loss that creates some dissension in Foxborough and either sends Brady or Belichick to Miami to finish out their career. Over to you, Double K.
I like the Rams to win this game. I think they win by at least a field goal, and I think it will be under 57. And I am going out on a limb. Last year in the shootout, the Patriots did not have to punt the game, punt the ball once. I guarantee that the Pats will have to punt the ball at least once on Sunday. So guarantee that the Rams win under, and the Pats will punt at least once. Over to you, Clown Prince.
Oh, you crazy bastard predicting one punt. Get out of here, Guru. Come on. You got to do better than that. I'm going to go with the Patsies by a field goal. I think there will be some defense. I'm going to put it right on the number 30-27 Pats. And Gostkowski, the second greatest pole behind the Polish cannon himself, will get it done late for the Patsies. Final Bozo shot. Any Super Bowl party advice for the Bozo Posse? And one last parting shot to wrap up this season of Fantasy Football Bozos.
So, Bozo Posse, turn up the volume here. My advice is simple. The Super Bowl is on Sunday. You have Saturday as a practice day. Use Saturday evening as a dry run for Sunday and your Super Bowl party. Make your wings, your nachos, your side dishes, get your booze. Experiment with your recipes and see how they come out. This gives you a chance to perfect your craft for Sunday. You can tweak your recipes or your beer and liquor selection if things don't go well on Saturday. So use Saturday as a dry run. Enjoy yourself the entire weekend. And then settle in, sit back, and enjoy the final football game for the next 8 months. It's been a great run again this year, Bozo Posse. Thanks for all your support. Love the listening audience as always. Same SBFFC Nation. And we'll see you again in August. Peace out, Double K.
And I would advise the Bozo Posse listener, get to your party, whether it's a house party, a bar, get there early, get your preferred spot, or get there to avoid sitting next to anyone that you know annoys you that'll be there. There's no excuse. What else are you doing? You know you want to watch the game. Get there early, get your preferred spot. Don't allow yourself to get upset before the game even starts. And pay attention. This is going to be the first, I'm sure, of many that he does. Tony Romo, who is an expert at picking plays, it would have been a good prop bet of how many plays that he diagnoses correctly before the ball is snapped. He is a wizard at breaking down offenses. So watch. One of the best analysts announce it on Sunday. He's unreal, just predicting what's going to happen before it takes place. It's been a great year. Looking forward to next season. Enjoy the Super Bowl, and hope we brought you some comedy and at least a little bit of advice throughout this fantasy season. Over to you, Clown Prince.
Guru, my man, thank you very much for your contributions, as always. And Guru, it's amazing how a man who could not dissect anything when he was under center has moved to the booth, and he's all of a sudden a genius and a wizard. But God bless him, I guess. For me, this is a funeral, a sad day, because it's the last football game of the year. And my first lady, she always shakes her head at me when I bring that up, because I watch every minute of every game all season. But a sad day for me. I have mixed emotions. It's like going to a funeral of somebody that was a party animal and a good time. You're celebrating the life, but sad to see them go. It's the same thing with the Super Bowl. And Bozo Posse, thank you for joining us as always. We've had a blast bringing it to you. We hope you've enjoyed it as much as we've enjoyed bringing it to you. Hope we've got you some advice. You've won some Do-Re-Mi in your fantasy leagues and had a good time all at the same time. That's going to do it for us for this season. We will see you next year. And remember, yesterday's gone. Tomorrow's never promised. So enjoy the hell out of today. Thanks again for Dolphin Mo and for the Queen City Guru. We'll see you next year on Fantasy Football Bozos.